You may be seated. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading, the 34th chapter of 2 Chronicles. Second Chronicles 34, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Baalim in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down. And the groves and the carved images and the molten images he brake in pieces, and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim, and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers and building and builders gave they it, to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings, and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully, and the overseers of them were Jahat and Obadiah the Levites of the sons of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam of the sons of the Kohathites, to set it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. Also they were over the bearers of burdens, and were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service, and of the Levites were their scribes and officers and porters. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king, and brought the king word back again, saying, "All that was commanded to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen." Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Abdon the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah a servant of the king, saying, Go, inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect. And she answered them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell ye the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book which they have read before the king of Judah, because they have forsaken me, and have burnt incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be poured out upon this place, and shall not be quenched. And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardst his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me. I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. So they brought the king word again. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people great and small, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the people to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertained to the children of Israel, and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, we have a few sections in this chapter. The first section is introductory in the first two verses. Then we hear of Josiah's early piety and action in verses 3 through 7. Then we hear what takes place in the 18th year of his reign in verses 8 through 13. Then we hear about after that time when they were repairing the house of the Lord in verses 14 through 22. We have the answer of the prophetess in verses 23, 24, and so on. And that takes us down through verse 28. And then in verse 29, we have the covenant that Josiah causes all the people to cut, or to make, if you will, in Jerusalem before that newly refurbished temple. So those sections in the chapter. He was 8 years old when he began to reign. We saw a little bit ago, there was another king, right, that came to power early in his 12th year, and he was evil. But notice here, Josiah, being even younger, was a good man, that the Lord had his hand upon him even at his early age. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father, declined neither to the right hand or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, when he was 16 years of age, that's when he began his traveling iconoclastic band. Many 16-year-olds are wanting to build their own rock band. Josiah formed his own iconoclastic band instead. His early piety is indeed on display here. Children, some of you may not be 16, or some of you may be older than 16. Is your heart like the heart of Josiah, pointed toward the Lord in your youth? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, Solomon will remind us. Early piety, in some instances, is the best kind of piety, isn't it? Early piety. And so, beloved, especially those of you that are still in your youth, make diligent use of all the means that you have at your disposal to point your thoughts, your face, toward your heavenly inheritance. Hold it tightly and never lose it. Don't let it go. All right, so we see something that happens in the eighth year of his reign, and then we see something that happens also a little bit later than that, right? So in the eighth year of his reign, he began to seek the God of David, his father, and then 4 years after that, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places. So when he was 20 years old as the king, that's when he began his work to destroy the images and altars in Judah and in Jerusalem. And we hear also that that included Manasseh, Ephraim, Naphtali, Asher, and so on. He went into the northern kingdom, which, by the way, by this point had already been decimated by the Assyrians, and it was only the remnant of the Israelites that were left there. Still, he considered that to be Israelite land, or can I say it this way, according to Isaiah chapter 8, Emmanuel's land, and those idols don't belong there. That's Emmanuel's land, so we're going to take the idols out of there too. Okay, remember that Hezekiah was associate with Isaiah. Josiah is associate, most likely, although we don't read much interchange between them, with Jeremiah. Okay, so Jeremiah's first chapter speaks of that he was a prophet during the days of Josiah. All right, so they broke down the images and all of those things, and they burned up those bones, and they dug up all of those altars. All of that stuff takes place before his 26th year. Now, scholars are divided as to when we come to verse 8 and we take up now in the 18th year of his reign. Scholars are divided as to whether or not this is a contiguous thing, that it actually took those 6 years to get all of that work done. I'm inclined to think that he was at it for those 6 years, knowing what we know of Josiah. So this was a 6-year program that he had to go all the way into the northern country and to find every altar, every grave of the false prophets and the false priests, and to tear all of that down and to straw it, if you will, or to scatter it over the face of the ground. Now in his 18th year, 6 years later, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan and Azaliah and Maaseiah and so on, and it was their job now to repair the house. And so notice how his reformation goes in stages. First of all, it's personal. Then it pertains to his calling. First of all, it's personal in that in his eighth year, he was a godly young man. In his 16th year, he turned his heart toward David. In his 20th year, he began to apply his calling to that personal reformation and made reformation over the land itself. And then in his 26th year, he called upon those who were qualified to purge the house of God. It had been looted. It had been left in disrepair. It needed new flooring because they'd stripped up all of that flooring from before, maybe even to build up their own palaces, as we read in Haggai. Okay, so what did he do then? He commissioned those men and provided for those men to do all of that work in the house of God, to put it back in order, to make ready for what happens in the next chapter, which will be what? The celebration of that first Passover of Josiah's reign. So that's the second, or if you will, the third section, if the first section is the first two verses with the introduction. We have the introduction, the iconoclasm, then we have the rebuilding of the house of the Lord, and during that rebuilding, they found the book of the law. And in that book of the law, then, we heard several things. First of all, that Hilkiah the priest found that book of the law that was given by Moses, and it was read by the priests, and then it was read in the presence of the king. And when the king heard the words of the law, he rent his clothes, and he commanded the priests that were in his presence to go and inquire of the Lord, and they inquired of one Huldah, a prophetess. And that prophetess is a sign of judgment upon the land of that day. That's when you have women prophets, when the Lord raises up women prophets among the people of God, that's a sign of his displeasure with them. And so that's what we have here. It is a sign of God's displeasure. That doesn't make Huldah any less a prophet. The Lord did raise her up, and I'm sure she was a fine and godly woman who told the truth. But the Lord raises up women like that in such a time when he is displeased with his people. And this takes us to verse 23. And that is now that she brings forth the word from the Lord to the king that, yes, the judgment is coming. God will keep all of his word. But because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself and wept, you will be spared from seeing that judgment upon Jerusalem. Rather, you will go to your grave in peace. Now, peace there is a relative term, because we find out in the next chapter that he goes to war and dies at the hand of Pharaoh Necho. The peace that Huldah is talking about is Josiah will die while Jerusalem is still in peace. And that is the peace that matters, isn't it? That's right. Okay. So then finally, notice that after he hears that judgment is coming, perhaps in keeping with his association with Jeremiah in chapter 18 of Jeremiah's prophecy, if I command a people telling them I'm going to destroy them, if they turn from that destructive work and call upon my name, then I will repent of that destruction that I said I would bring. There's always an interpretation of prophecy that we must bring to bear, that we must remember, that is, that it is given to us so that we will repent and call upon the name of the Lord, even if a word of destruction. And so what does Josiah do? Exactly that. He calls all of the people of the land together, especially the nobles, and then all of the people that are around the environs of Jerusalem, and he makes a covenant with them that they will be the Lord's people, and he causes them to stand to the covenant. He leads the way, saying, I will keep the commandments of God with all my heart and with all my strength, and so will you. And they stood to that same covenant. And he did that after he heard that the Lord was going to send the Babylonian army to destroy the southern kingdom. All right, so Josiah here is an example to us all. He's an example to you that are young in his early piety. He's an example to those of us that we ought to be about in our callings, those things which make for the advancement of his kingdom. That we're not doing our callings just to put bread on the table, but to serve Christ. We serve the Lord Christ in our callings. Number three, that we must spend time, sound time, worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And so he repaired the temple. Fourth, that we must spend time as we come near to the Lord and hear his word and are apprised of our sins, that we also must have tender hearts and weeping for our own sins and for the sins of others, that the Lord might be gracious unto us and give us peace in the end of our days. Fifth, he's an example knowing the mercy of God, right? Knowing the mercy of God and submitting himself to the word of God will still advance the true religion in his day, even though Jerusalem is slated for destruction by the Lord. And so he is an example there to sinners. Let's see, which one of us does that apply to? Oh, that's right. Every one of us, to be tender and compliant when we're apprised of our sins and the sins of others, that we would have grief and hatred of our sins and that we might turn from them all to God and seek new obedience from him. What an example then Josiah is in this chapter. Let's stand and continue praising.